The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. And my co-host, Dr. Carol Smith, is out of town today, so I'll be taking the show over. And today's topic is one that couldn't be more timely and more important, and that is public health preparedness. We're all well aware of the events that have occurred in the last week or two in Texas, where there is widespread damage and devastation and tragedy. And for those of you who think it can't happen here, in fact, it did happen here in the recent past with Superstorm Sandy and Hurricane Irene. And my guest today is Diane Asno. She's the Ulster County Department of Health Public Health Preparedness Education Coordinator. Welcome, Diane. How are you?
Good. Thanks, Ben.
Diane, tell us, our listeners, what public health preparedness is. We probably have some notion of it, but give us some details.
Thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be here. First of all, I'd just like to say that preparedness is about being in a constant state of readiness. And we'll talk more about that as the interview moves along. But public health preparedness is mandated for all health departments to have a public health preparedness unit by New York State Department of Health. We're grant-based. We work off a set of deliverables that just encompass many different aspects of the area of preparedness and helping people prepare.
Mm-hmm. And what are the responsibilities of your office exactly? What are you in charge of in terms of the community or in terms of coordinating efforts out there?
We're really responsible for doing a variety of things, as you might guess. We're very busy with writing and updating department public health preparedness plans, medical countermeasure plans, strategic national stockpile plans, and they're all part of what the state has an expectation for us to have in place, written out plans for our department in the event of an emergency. We also conduct quarterly drills, we complete drill deliverables, and we work very closely with mobilizing our whole department when there is a real life emergency, such as you mentioned, Vin, Hurricane Irene. When we were very busy at that time at the health department working at our own emergency operations center and also at the county emergency operations center, which we affectionately call the EOC. And that's just all about communicating with consumers, our community partners, our local hospitals, adult care facilities, certainly our nursing homes and the state, and as I said, most importantly, the consumers, in working through disaster as it happens and as it plays out.
Mm-hmm. And it's got to be critically important to train and be able to know who the players are, how to reach them, and basically what the steps are, right, that you follow?
Absolutely. It's all about, having all of that in place so much with the plans where we can always go into our big binders and onto our computers to find out, what is it that we said that we would do in this particular situation. And, working, per the order of our wonderful emergency management team and county executive's office and helping us roll out that whole emergency sequence when we're tasked with doing that.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine that a plan is not a guarantee of that's how things will unfold. I mean, I think it was General Patton that said as soon as the battle starts, or maybe it was Eisenhower, the plan kind of goes out the window. But so it's really not a ironclad depiction of what would happen because every emergency is different.
Mm, right? Very much so. And it calls for different resources in different ways, certainly.
Mm-hmm. But it does give, as far as I understand it, it does lay out roles of who's responsible for what areas and kind of gives a good structural framework for dealing with whatever might arise.
Absolutely. And it's that framework that's really important because, as I said at the top of the interview, it's about being in a constant state of readiness when we talk about preparedness. So pre-planning, always, always very important in these situations. And then things do roll out as they will with disasters and what needs to be taken care of at that time.
Mm-hmm. And can you touch on, you mentioned the three main responsibility areas, which is preparedness plans, medical countermeasures, and I think the third was stockpiling. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Can you give us just a quick overview of those?
Medical countermeasures, basically about everything with points of distribution, mm-hmm. which are pods, and when we have to do a mobilization in the event of some sort of particular attack that needs prophylaxis, medications to be distributed, that plan would help carry us through the various steps of that.
So you talk about bioterrorism or something like
yes.
that, or a biological weapons attack, or some dirty mm-hmm. bomb, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And strategic national stockpile is part of what I do is education on that piece, just to let our staff know, and certainly community at large, that there is a depository of supplies in the event of a major, major disaster. There is a federal depository of supplies to help in an emergency, and there's also that particular type of things, maybe on a yet smaller scale in Albany, through preparedness there. Mm-hmm. And it can be called upon to be used through right. the powers that be, should we have to use stockpile information or materials that would be shipped to Ulster County.
Right. I noticed that down in Texas, they were talking about how, having learned the lessons of Katrina, how they had supplies pre-positioned in and around the Gulf area in Florida, so that they really shortened the amount of time that those critical supplies could get to people, mm-hmm. and really probably saved a lot of lives in the process.
Absolutely. It's really key. And to have the sense of that material being there available to us, mm-hmm. and the various stages to call it down, mm-hmm. should the need arise.
Now, who makes the call? Is it a local official? Is it the governor, the commissioner? How does that work? I mean, if we were to, you know, if you were to need that, or I guess it would be determined on a state level, maybe?
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so preparedness really isn't just a health department initiative or emergency 911 initiative or law enforcement initiative, but it's really a community thing, right? It's really
it
a community effort. So I know that you have a preparedness task force. Would you like to tell us about that and how that works?
Sure. The Public Health Preparedness Task Force was organized back in 2011, and that was really in response to 9/11. And the task force basically is an educational type networking group of professionals, including folks such as law enforcement, hospitals, the nursing homes, school nurses, many human service agencies and organizations, of course, emergency management, all from Ulster County. And we do meet quarterly, and I bring in guest speakers to talk about that topic of preparedness. Mm-hmm. And we like to really think of it as a great way to network, for these groups to network. And we discuss everybody's preparedness plans at their facilities. And networking is really key. And we do meet quarterly at Ulster County Department of Health. And our next meeting is Monday, September 18th. We have about 25 people that attend. And of course, a key part of our September meeting will be the discussion of September as National Preparedness Month.
Uh-huh. And we want to hear more about that a little bit later on. But in terms of having all of these different sectors involved, and in, as we've heard in the news reports from Texas, you had all kinds of issues come up with, security in terms of law enforcement, with danger on the highways, with evacuating nursing homes. What do you do with patients in the hospital who are incapable of leaving on their own, whether they be babies or the elderly or the disabled? You have food issues, you have utilities. So your group represents all of those folks from all of those sectors, right?
Right, and it's ever growing then with people who participate in the group, of which we always say is open to people who are involved with their various organizations and factions, so to speak. And we find it's a great opportunity for these people who might not always communicate a whole lot amongst themselves, to kind of use the meeting as a platform and to be educated themselves about, you know, currently what's happening. As you mentioned, all the devastation that we're experiencing with Harvey and Irma coming in, and it's very valuable that way for folks.
Mm-hmm. And how important do you think are the relationships themselves, where you get to know one another and kind of hear about what you're each doing, to be able to know that maybe in an emergency to really contact somebody and knowing them, and you know them, you trust them, you've talked, you know the person behind the face. Mm-hmm. How critical do you think that might be?
I think it's really critical, and I know that just from you know, being involved with this group over a period of 7 or so years, that that networking has become quite valuable. And I really see my role oftentimes when we're not meeting, since we only meet quarterly, is to very regularly do messaging. I do a lot of email messaging to this group and at least 18 other listservs on the topic of preparedness from an educational standpoint, mm-hmm. and updates, that type of thing. And I know that I'm able to connect people. Sometimes they use me as their connection person. Uh-huh. You know, this one needs to contact that one, or do I know about this? Then I can put them in touch with that
or
person.
Where do I find such and such?
Yes, and connect them to other folks in the community and mm-hmm. part of this group who might be able to help them.
I know in any major complex public health issue, and we deal with many of them across the board, whether it's smoking or opioid abuse or any, you know, you have a lot of great organizations who are doing really great work and great people, but they, as you said, they don't often connect to one another. And public health role is really about connecting those dots so that people really do coordinate their efforts better and, you know, maybe not duplicate them as much as they might. Mm-hmm. This is fascinating, and we'd like to learn more about it and also about National Preparedness Month. But first, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio.
When it comes to surgery, you always want to be in the best surgical hands. Now, thanks to WMC Health Physicians at Lake Katrine, a member of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network, it's easy to find an expert surgeon close to home, featuring 8 highly respected doctors in 6 unique areas of practice. WMC Health Physicians at Lake Katrine is the latest way we're advancing care here in the Hudson Valley. The surgeons at WMC Health Physicians are leaders in the fields of breast surgery, general surgery, neurosurgery, surgical oncology, thoracic surgery, and vascular surgery, all equipped with the latest technology and approaches for the best possible care. And because they're part of WMC Health, your surgery can be performed at a location most convenient for you. Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital in Poughkeepsie or Health Alliance Hospitals in Kingston. Another way, we're advancing care here. For more information, visit wmchealth.org/Lake Katrine.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and this week's topic is public health preparedness. And we have as our guest Diane Asno from the Ulster County Department of Health. And Diane, you were mentioning before in the first segment about National Preparedness Month in September. Can you tell us about that?
Sure, I'd be glad to. It's really an exciting time of year when we start thinking about that very important month coming up in September, currently in September now. September is National Preparedness Month, is our yearly educational campaign that's supported by FEMA and ready.gov, which is a wonderful website for information on preparedness. This year's theme is Disasters Don't Plan Ahead, You Can. And as I had mentioned earlier, Vin, it's a very busy month, as you know. You post things on the county website for us on Preparedness Month, and I'm sending weekly messaging to 18 email listservs about each week when there's a bit of a different theme within that month. So the first week of September, September 1st through 9th, is Make a Plan for Yourself, Family, and Friends. Then it goes into September 10th through 16th. The theme then is Plan to Help Your Neighbors and Community. Week 3, September 17th through 23rd, is practice and build out your plans. And week four, September 24th through the 30th, is get involved and be part of something larger. And we also always encourage people, if they want more information on these topics, to visit ready.gov/September. Fabulous site. It will show you a lot of information, and we always encourage to share with your friends and your neighbors and anyone at your workplace. Post the information. All very good information.
In terms of making a plan for yourself, your family, and friends, what kinds of things are in those plans? I mean, can you give us a few examples of the types of things that people might include?
Absolutely. Some of our very most favorite, very most important, because it's a constant state of readiness, as I said earlier in the interview, we encourage people to get a kit, an emergency supply kit. And it's important to have something like that, one for your home, to have a portable go bag or like a little duffel bag if you have to get out of your home really quickly. It's good to have one for your car. It's good to have one at your workplace. And within that, you know, we always encourage people to have a battery-powered NOAA radio, which would have the radio or the weather channels actually on it. Flashlight, certainly. You want to have extra batteries, a first aid kit, and just having non-perishable type food that you can take with you if you have to get out in a hurry. Mm-hmm. God forbid that we ever have to do this, but we in Ulster County have experienced some very bad times with Hurricane Irene and such.
Yeah, many homes were washed away.
Very much.
Roadways were washed away. People couldn't get to supermarkets, even if they were open. Emergency.
And everything was basically gone in the stores. You know, the supply was basically gone. And so it's good for that, planning ahead. We always encourage people to have water on supply, 1 gallon per person and pet per day. And expecting to have enough in your home for 3 days. Our first responders are such wonderful, committed people, but we have to think about self-preservation because first responders have so much to do in the event of an emergency.
They may not be able to get to you.
Might not get to you.
Whether it's because they have others, more pressing cases, or the roads are out, for instance.
Yes.
I mean, I think down in Texas, in Port Arthur, they had something like 5,000 911 calls in the course of a couple of hours. And even if you could get through, mm-hmm. they didn't have enough resources in terms of helicopters and high water vehicles and so on to get to people. Of course, that's a worst case scenario, but mm-hmm. you know, you just don't know what Mother Nature or human disaster, created disaster, may bring.
You don't know. And so having an emergency supply kit, you know, relatively easy to pull that stuff together when the going is good and we're not in a tough situation. So now is the time, folks, to really think about that. We also encourage people to make a plan. Planning ahead to decide if we get separated, you know, what's the family plan? What shall we do if we get separated?
Where do we meet?
Who do we call?
What happens if we can't get there?
And to, you know, listen to your battery-powered radio in the event of an emergency about, you know, what you can do, numbers to call. And as I mentioned earlier, the Emergency Operations Center would open for a disaster mm-hmm. Here. And they're just a team of people from agencies that take phone calls and emergency management
well,
really
that's
helping.
Everyone together, right? The fire department.
Everyone together.
So representative from each agency is
it
there
is.
In the same, literally in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
Coordinating
that.
Really,
so the pre-planning always very important about how you best take care of your family, always thinking about your pets, and also thinking about the vulnerable population, small children, babies, older folks, and people with disabilities, certainly, uh-huh. on how we prepare best for them and what our plan is going to be if we're faced with a really tough situation. We have to get out or stay. Mm-hmm. What the recommendation is.
And how critical is it to for like smaller neighborhoods or like sub communities to get together to kind of know what's going on and where things are and who might need mm-hmm. some help and be unable to help themselves? I mean,
yep.
down in Texas, there were countless stories of volunteers just coming together and providing much needed assistance to folks who really couldn't get it any other way.
Absolutely. All very important of how we handle this and how we prepare for ourselves and what the the steps are beforehand, when mm-hmm. we're calm and before anything mm-hmm. happens, to decide these type of things mm-hmm. and to know through our, maybe our church congregation groups, community mm-hmm. groups banding together, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Also, getting a kit, making a plan, being informed, we've kind of talked about that a bit, mm-hmm. And getting involved with people in your neighborhood. Hurricane Irene and other weather-related situations here in Ulster County, we've seen that. Neighbor helping neighbor and people helping people, which is so key.
Yeah, there just aren't enough. I don't care where you are, there aren't enough emergency responders to go around if the entire community is hit with something catastrophic.
Absolutely. And just knowing what your emergency plan is going to be for yourselves and, you know, listening to your NOAA radio. And if you do have power, the county website, when there is a disastrous situation, very valuable with the resources that they give out and numbers to call.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about volunteers in terms of informally helping one another in a catastrophe, but you have something also where professionals can come together and volunteer. Can you tell us, and I think it's called Serve New York.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Serve New York for Ulster County and throughout the whole state, as a matter of fact, has been set up by New York State Department of Health. And it consists of licensed health and mental health volunteer registry for a declared county emergency, in our case here, where we have probably about 38 people at this point who are definitely part of all the messaging. We do drills with these folks. And when it is a declared county emergency, we have this cadre of health professionals mm-hmm. that would be called in to help in various
capacities. So they might supplement hospital staff or maybe be at a shelter to assist people mm-hmm. in need, right? And then the mental health professionals really, you know, I mean, talk about how stressful it is to lose your home, not know if your family members are safe. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, all the other things that surround catastrophic events, that mental health component is really critical.
It is. And, you know, it's a computerized registry through communication systems through the state. And they're training us up to roll out a new version of this, so it'll be even more effective should we call upon these people as far as messaging to them, the alert, the fact that we would need their help, etc. Mm-hmm. So it's being fine-tuned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, people hear about emergency planning, and I think, you know, many of us think, oh, well, that, you know, it really doesn't happen here, or it doesn't apply to me. But nobody who encounters a catastrophic emergency thinks it's going to happen to them. It's only when it does, you know, that it really becomes critical. And you don't want to wait to that point, you know, that notion of planning ahead. Just to put some basic plans in place, even if they're not 100% guaranteed, at least you have some framework, some, you know, basis for being able to survive for several days, hopefully until more help arrives into the recovery phase of things.
Right. And I would also just like the listeners to know about New York Alert, which is offers you alerts as many or as few as you want to get through your cell phones. Mm-hmm. And it's very valuable.
How do you sign up for that?
You can go right on to New York Alert website uh-huh. and you can sign up for local weather alerts, local alerts as far as your highways and your roadways. Uh-huh. Really valuable and very helpful.
Great.
And of course, if you want to go on to the FEMA website, there's numerous ways to upload apps onto your phone for FEMA.
And you mentioned ready.gov, right? That's the federal emergency resource pages, right, where they have tremendous information.
Mm-hmm. And it's all very easy, downloadable. They have a huge supply of brochures that they offer it for people to download mm-hmm. And to use. That's mm-hmm. what the whole aspect is of that. And if people want to order preparedness brochures, that's a great way to actually go onto their website, see what's available, and you can order for free.
And if folks want to get in touch with you quickly, how do they do that?
Sure. You can give me a call at 845-334-5538. Diane Asno, that's D-A-Z like in zebra, N at co.ulster.ny.us would be my email. and would love to hear from folks.
That's terrific, Diane. Well, you know, there's far too little time to really talk about all of this great work, and we really thank you and your colleagues and your partners for doing it. Really, it's really something that's critical to our community and our well-being. And that's about all the time we have for today. Went really quickly. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Please tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and your community healthy and strong. See you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.